wash me truly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would now fill us with your Holy Spirit once again. Lord, we bless you and praise you that we've been able to sing your praises. We've been reminded that we need to pray without ceasing. And Lord, I pray as we come to your word at this time that you would equip us more so that we might be able to pray without ceasing effectively. I pray that you'd meet each one at that point of need spiritually this morning. In the name of Jesus Christ, we do pray. Amen. There is a river called the Ganges River, and it's found to the north of India in a city called Hardwar. And people sincerely believe that if you dip within this river at a certain time of the year, over a period of 3 months, it's only once every 12 years, mind you, that this festival takes place, and for a period of 3 months, it is believed by many sincere Hindus that if you dip within the Ganges River, that there is the possibility that you can be cleansed spiritually. You can be cleansed from sin. In fact, only this year, it was recorded that some 50 million Hindus, over a period of 3 months, dipped within that river. That river was overflowing as the waters rushed down from the Himalayas, and they sincerely believed that if they dipped within that river, they could potentially be cleansed spiritually. Some bathed themselves in that river. Others just leant over and just washed their faces with the water from that river. But the point is, they sincerely believe that river has the potential to cleanse from sin. Can the Ganges River to the north of India cleanse sin? The answer is no. The answer is no. 50 million people live in hope that possibly by bathing within this particular river at a certain time of the year, mind you, once every 12 years, you can potentially be cleansed. Many sincere Hindus believe that. Hindus will travel from all over the world to bathe in that river, wanting cleansing. This event is known as the largest spiritual pilgrimage in the world. It attracts people from all over the world. Does that river have the potential to cleanse one of their sin? Well, according to the Word of God, the answer is no. The answer is no. What actually can cleanse an individual from sin? So far this month, we've been studying the subject of praying for cleansing. And we noted last week that we need to give God permission to cleanse us. Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24, the psalmist said, "Search me, O God." He gave God permission to cleanse his heart of sin. And also we've noted, according to 1 John chapter 1, verses 7 to 9, If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. The Bible teaches us with complete assurance that it's only the blood of Jesus Christ applied to a person's life that has the potential to cleanse sin. But Pastor, why not? Why wouldn't it be okay for the Hindus to have their way of cleansing and for the Buddhists to have their way of cleansing and the Baptists to have their way of cleansing? Couldn't they all be true? Well, to be honest with you, I wish they were. I'd be happy for man to be cleansed from sin. Full stop. But we must come under the authority of the Word of God. God, who is without sin, is the ultimate authority. How can sinful man be an authority on how to cleanse his heart of sin? He has no authority. So God, who is without sin, clearly spells out his word, the Bible, that it's only through the blood of Jesus Christ can a person be cleansed from sin. And that cleansing is possible because Jesus Christ not only died on the cross, he was buried, and after 3 days he arose from the dead, victoriously, proving that he was God in flesh. And with his precious blood, he paid in full for your sin and for my sin. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And the Bible teaches us in 1 John chapter 1 verse 9 that if we confess our sins, if we agree with God that we are sinful, because back in verse number 8, for a person to deny that fact, the Bible teaches us the truth of God is not in us. How can anybody really deny the reality of sin? And my friend, how can you deny sin in your life? Sin in your heart? If we say that we have no sin, the Bible teaches us the truth of God is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to cleanse us and forgive us from all unrighteousness. So how does a person experience cleansing? Cleansing from sin. It is only found in the person and work of Jesus Christ. By repentance and by faith, my friend, if you will acknowledge your sinful condition before a holy God. Oh, the pastor, I'm not too bad. Well, it depends who you're comparing your life to. God's standard is God. Compared to God, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the Bible teaches us if you sin in one area, you are guilty of all. So we are guilty sinners, condemned before a holy and righteous God. But I'm so thankful that Jesus Christ, God, the Son, was willing to die on the cross for my sins. And God the Father was pleased with the sacrifice of God the Son. And Jesus Christ, when he cried out from that cross, "It is finished," he was saying in a nutshell, the payment for sin has been made once and for all. And my friend, if you would just repent of your sin, acknowledge that you are sinful, we're all sinful. To say that you are not sinful, you're calling God a liar, because God tells us you're a sinner. You're a God saying, God, you're a liar. But God doesn't lie. How can you be so brash to say that God's a liar? Maybe you're the liar. You're not admitting your condition before a holy God. But God in His love has provided salvation, and all that we need to do is just to repent and then place our faith in Jesus Christ for salvation. It's by faith alone. And we can experience the forgiveness of sin. And then once we become a child of God, day in, day out, it's quite possible, in fact it is possible, that we get infected by the sin of this world. And we are in need of daily cleansing. We are positionally cleansed in Jesus Christ, but we need practical cleansing day by day. The need for cleansing is a reality for all of us. Now here in Psalm 51, King David has sinned. Unfortunately, he did not confess his sin voluntarily. According to 1 Samuel chapter 11. But in the following chapter, he was confronted by the prophet Nathan, who pointed out his sin. And this led to his confession and cleansing. And this is recorded here within Psalm chapter 51. This chapter gives us details concerning the effect of sin upon a person's life, how we can be forgiven, and why we need a cleansing. See, sin is like an octopus with many arms that will negatively affect our lives in many ways. Sin is always committed at a price. Let's see how sin affected King David. I might remind you and I that sin does affect us. You don't get away with it, my friend. Whether you're a Christian or not a Christian, sin is sin in the sight of God. We just don't get away with sin. It will affect us in some way, in some form. Sin is always committed at a price. And I'd like us to climb into the skin of the most influential man in Israel and see why he craved cleansing. And may this stir within our hearts concerning the importance of cleansing, the need for cleansing. I'd like for us to note first and foremost this morning that David felt unclean. He felt unclean. Note then verse number 2, the Bible reads, "Wash me thoroughly." Doesn't say thoroughly, thoroughly. Very important word. "Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." One of the effects of sin upon a person's life is that it will make the individual feel unclean. It's not a nice thought to feel unclean, is it? David felt dirty after his sin. And nothing, he felt dirty after his sin, and nothing he tried could give him the sense of cleanliness. Though he bathed in a polished marble bathtub and scrubbed himself with the finest of soaps and soaked himself with the finest and imported bath oils, Dr. Biddy said he still felt unclean and contaminated. He felt unclean. See, it's one thing to be washed thoroughly outwardly. It is another thing to be cleansed within thoroughly. See? In verse number 7 of this chapter, David cried out, "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." The psalmist felt the uncleanness in his life. He felt unclean. That's why he cried out for mercy in verse number 1. "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness." He felt unclean. He asked for mercy. Mercy is undeserved favor. He appealed to God's loving kindness. My friend, are we trying to cleanse ourselves in our own strength? We all have dirt and grime in our life. Only the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse us truly. And then we will know what it really means to be clean. Like David, we need to be cleansed truly. Do you feel unclean? Sin makes you feel unclean. You can try to cover it up, but only the blood of Jesus Christ and confession will make us feel clean. That's why we need cleansing. I don't like to feel unclean. Do you? Nobody does. In their right mind, likes to feel unclean. And when you and I tolerate sin in our lives, then we will feel unclean. And you can scrub yourself down outwardly, but the issue is we need cleansing from within. And David understood that. He said, "Lord, cleanse me truly. From within, cleanse me." Also note then, verse number 3, another reason why we need cleansing from sin. Number 1, because we will feel unclean. Sin makes you feel unclean. In verse number 3, the psalmist writes at the end of the verse, "My sin is ever before me." Secondly, the second reason why we need cleansing is that, as David said, "My sin is ever before me." In other words, David couldn't forget his sin. Day, night, night, day, David's sin thundered in his mind. When he awoke, he thought of his sin. Throughout the day, he couldn't erase the memory of his sin. When he laid his head on his pillow, the last thought of the day was his sin. He said, "My sin is ever before me." It's a very difficult thing to erase sin from our minds. If we are to be honest this morning, all of us can recall past sin very vividly. Sin's a horrid thing. It plagues the mind. And the devil is the accuser of the brethren, and he is very diligent to just remind us of our past sin. And that can be very discouraging, can it not? And this is why we need to claim the promises of 1 John 1:9. That if we confess, he promises to forgive. And he promises to cleanse. And this is why we need to memorize verses like 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verses 4 and 5. That we need to cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. And bring those thoughts captive to Christ. And this is why we need to memorize verses like Philippians chapter 4 verse 8. That tells us the type of things that we need to think upon. Because sin is horrid. It's difficult to forget sin. I can still remember sin that I committed 20 years ago. 30 years ago. It's a horrid thing. Brethren, we need to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. and not allow these sinful thoughts to dominate our minds. And I'm thankful for Romans chapter 6, verse 14, where the Bible teaches us that sin shall no longer have dominion over you. Sin is no longer king in your life if you've received Jesus Christ as Savior. Put that sin underfoot. And you might say, well, Pastor, how do I do that? With the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And when the devil reminds you of your past sin, you just take out the sword and give him a good slice. We need to turn these stumbling stones, the remembrance of sin, into stepping stones by claiming the forgiveness found in the person and work of Jesus Christ. For David said, my sin is ever before me. Now, to my knowledge, I don't think David committed adultery again. Did he? You correct me if I'm wrong. Committed it once. And he said, my sin is ever before me. We're better off not committing sin. But yet, at the same time, it's not possible for you and I to be exempt from all sin. And we need to bear the burden of the price of sin, that if you and I choose to deliberately violate the Word of God, that sin will plague us for life. And though you might want to forget it, and even though positionally in Christ Jesus, Christ has forgiven, the devil will bring it back to mind. We need forgiveness because it's difficult to forget our sin. Thirdly, note then verse number 4, please. Note what the psalmist said. He said, against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. He faces the fact that he has sinned against God. And my friend, when we sin against God, ultimately. All of our sin stems back to God. We sin against Him, the Holy One. When Judas Iscariot betrayed our Lord, he sinned against Almighty God. When Simon Peter denied the Lord, he sinned against God. When Achan sinned, he sinned against God. When Saul committed sin, he sinned against God. And when you and I sin, no matter how big or how little that sin might be in your eyes, it is sin against God. And we need cleansing because we need to bear in mind that when we sin, we are sinning against the Holy God. It was our sin that nailed Jesus Christ to the cross. It was your sin. It was my sin. It was our past, present, and future sin. It's our sin that nailed Jesus Christ to the cross. He didn't die for his sin. There was no sin in him. It was your sin that nailed the Son of God to the cross. It was my sin that nailed the Son of God to the cross. The thought of wronging someone that you love is sobering and even hurtful. Think about it. Think of someone that you really love right now. Go ahead, just bring it to mind. Just bring them up in your mind. Your spouse. Your children. Your parents. Your grandparents. A close friend. Imagine sinning against them. Imagine wronging them. It's almost hurtful to think. that I would do something to hurt my wife and children. Why is that? It's because I really love my wife and children. And so likewise, brethren, do we really love God? Oh, Pastor, of course I love God. No. Do you really love God? Because if you really love somebody, then the thought of hurting them is overwhelming. Is it not? So how can we say we love God and yet we treat sin so lightly? We tolerate sin in our lives. And the psalmist craved cleansing because he said, God, I've sinned. Yes, I sinned against my nation. I sinned against my children. But ultimately, God, I've sinned against you. Do we really love God? Well, if we do, then we'll bear the burden that sin hurts God.
Amen.
Now, sin hurts God. I think so often we can be so flippant about our sin, are we not? And we don't see it that all sin is contrary to God. And then in verse number 5, he writes, Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. David understood that he was in need of cleansing. Why? Because he felt unclean. Do you feel unclean this morning? Well, I've got the answer to your problem. It's called confession of sin. Do you feel like you can't erase a particular sin from your mind? I've got the answer. It's confession of sin. And David understood that his sin was contrary to God, but also here in verse number 5, David was sobered by the fact he admitted his sinful nature. We sin because we are sinners. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Therefore, all have sinned. He doesn't excuse his sin, but he understands that I have a sinful nature from birth, and therefore I have a bent towards sin. And brethren, I'm afraid that we have such a high opinion of ourselves. We often have a high opinion of ourselves, and we need to see ourselves from God's perspective. We're sinners in need of cleansing all the time. And just like the Lord Jesus washed the feet of the disciples, he illustrated to these men that we are in need of daily cleansing. And the psalmist said, Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. You mean, Pastor, I was born a sinner? Yes. Yeah. Of course you were. Yeah. Nobody had to teach me how to be rebellious. Nobody had to teach me how to be disobedient. Nobody had to teach me how to be self-willed. How do you explain that? How does an evolutionist explain that? He can't explain that. But my Bible explains that. And that is that we have a sinful nature. We sin because we are sinners by nature. And we need God's forgiveness. We need God's cleansing. Oh, Pastor, you're being awfully negative. No, I'm just being honest with you. We need cleansing because we're sinners and we need God to cleanse us. No river will ever cleanse you. No matter how many times you dip in that river. But the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, provides forgiveness. Oh, we treat that forgiveness so lightly. Humanism teaches that man is inherently good. No, he's not. He's rotten. rotten to the core. You know that. Stop lying to yourself. Though we're created in the image of God, we have a sinful nature, and therefore we sin because we're born sinners and we choose to sin. We've got to be exhorted to do right. You don't need to exhort anybody to do wrong. It's just natural. David understood that. And because of this awareness of his sinful nature, he said, Lord, I need your forgiveness. Look at verse number 6. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. In the hidden part, thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Another reason why we need cleansing is because our conscience is defiled. The king makes reference to the hidden part. He's referring to his conscience. He understood that God wanted him to be brutally honest and totally transparent about what he has done. And I think so often we fail to experience God's forgiveness because we're just not honest. We live such artificial lives, Christians included.
Right.
Yes, including you.
Right.
You, yes, you. In church, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Yes, you, yes, me. We live a facade. Many of us live a facade. Because if God has sin in our heart, it might not be adultery, and it might not be murder, but it's anger, it's unforgiveness, it's jealousy, it's envy, it's bitterness. And we play games with God as if we're all okay. It's easy to look okay on the outside. Do I look okay on the outside? Thank you. Most of you guys look okay on the outside. But are you really okay on the inside? And David was transparent with God, and God wanted David to be brutally honest about what was really within. And brethren, we need God's cleansing because our conscience is defiled by sin. The higher purpose behind the cruelty of the conscience, as one man said, is to guide us to repentance. Sometimes the conscience is very cruel, isn't it? It's like a hound dog. It just hounds you. It stays with you. Follows you around, and he keeps coming to mind, keeps tapping on your shoulder, reminding you that you've done this, and you've done this, and you need to deal with it. And he just won't let go. He's a nuisance. And you can try to say, go away, get lost, leave me alone. But he just sticks with you. Where does the conscience come from? It doesn't come from some monkey ancestor. Evolution can't explain the conscience. The next time somebody tries to convince you that you came from monkeys, just say to them, explain the conscience to me. Where do we get the sense of right and wrong? Why is it that we feel bad when we do wrong? Where does that come from? God's put it there. To bring to light that we need to be right with God. See? The conscience is defiled. And my friend, I'd like to encourage you, don't live with a defiled conscience. Allow the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse you of sin. We need cleansing, do we not? Let's look at one more in verse number 8. Note in verse number 8 it reads, make me to hear joy and gladness. Now why did David say that? Talk to me. Wouldn't you agree with me that maybe he wasn't experiencing joy and gladness? So he said, listen to me, make me to hear joy and gladness. Loss of joy. He lost his joy. He lost his happiness. And he appeals to God to restore it. Though he had fame, and though he had abilities, and though he had wealth, it meant nothing because he felt miserable. He was miserable because of his sin. Sin is a misery maker.
Amen.
Let me tell you why some of you are miserable this morning, because you're living in sin. You're just not doing it God's way, and you're not going to be happy.
Amen.
You're not going to be happy. Why are there so many unhappy people in the world? Oh, good question. It's called sin. Pastor, that's just a very simplistic, uneducated, unintelligent answer. Call it what you want, I don't care. That's what the Bible teaches. I can prove to you that sin makes you miserable. And why do we need cleansing? I don't know about you. I want to be happy. What about you? Well, as long as you and I tolerate our sin, we're not going to be happy. You're going to be miserable. Sin robs us of our joy. When we violate God's standards, we'll reap misery. This is why people turn to stimulants.
Right.
To escape their deep unhappiness. They go to drugs. To just escape the thought of not being happy, not being fulfilled. Alcohol, entertainment. And this deep unhappiness often leads to depression. Depression is a spiritual issue. You can say amen. And no antidepressant will cure your depression. We don't need antidepressants or stimulants in our lives. We just need to get right with God. And I have no doubt in my mind. Look, I'm absolutely convinced. I really am. I'm absolutely convinced. The reason why people are miserable is because they're living in sin. It's not complicated. It's not complicated. And David said, Lord, restore unto me that joy. I was once joyful, but I've lost that joy. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Oh, brethren, we need cleansing, do we not? Because we need our joy. How can you live without joy? Our conscience needs to be cleansed. We need to feel clean. We certainly want to have victory over that sin that comes to mind time and time again. Brethren, we need cleansing, do we not? And this evening we'll continue to study this passage of Scripture if you're brave enough to come to church tonight. And God tells us further why we need cleansing. You need cleansing. I need cleansing. Let's stand. Thank you for listening.